may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. That was Hebrews 3:7-14.
These are the words of God, words from the book that we love. As we continue our consideration this morning of the one another commands found in the New Testament, we come to the command to encourage one another. As we turn our thoughts to encouragement this morning, I want to share three stories, all of them true stories, and I want you to think about which of these stories, if any, is an example of encouragement. Story number one. Jackie Robinson, as many of you know, was the first African-American player to play in Major League Baseball. He broke the sport's color barrier on April 15, 1947, when he began playing as the first baseman for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Robinson endured a huge amount of verbal abuse, hostile crowds, and even death threats wherever he went, including his home stadium in Brooklyn. While warming up for a game in Cincinnati one day, Robinson came under some particularly vehement verbal abuse from the Cincinnati fans, players, and even the coaches. At the moment when the name-calling seemed to be at its worst, and it seemed that Robinson must offer some kind of response, the Brooklyn shortstop, Pee Wee Reese, himself a white Southerner from Kentucky, left his position and walked over to Robinson, put his arm around him, and defiantly faced the stands. In a mere moments, the jeering came to an end. Story number two. In the early years of Christianity's growth in the sub-Saharan region of Africa, the Christians there were very committed. They were very fervent people. They were people of prayer. And the way they would do their prayer is that they would go out in the grasslands surrounding their village, and everyone would have their own particular place to pray. And these folks would go to pray so often in their own little spot that there would be paths leading off the main path to their individual places for prayer, and everyone knew whose spot was whose, and so as people went off to pray. But when in those years it became difficult for someone to continue to be a Christian, whether they lost their fire for the Christian faith or whether life itself got difficult for them and they started neglecting their going into their place of prayer, the other Christians, their brothers and sisters, would only meet them on the path, would meet them in the village, and the only thing they would say to them is, "The grass grows long on the path, brother or sister." Story number three. From 1989 to 1992, one of the best players in all of college basketball was a young man who played for Duke University by the name of Christian Laettner. Some of you may remember Christian Laettner. Christian was talented and smart. He was also, however, very young, and early in his career, he was prone to let his negative emotions get the best of him in the game and on the court. After one particularly awful game, when Christian not only played badly but acted badly, his coach, Mike Krzyzewski, had a 3-minute videotape made of all of Christian's antics during the past game. Then he called the entire team together and showed that tape. And in front of everyone, he said to Christian, quote, "Your look, the yelling, your whole performance was unacceptable. You were bad, Christian. And that bothers me because you're not bad. You're one great basketball player. But if you do that again, you're not going to play," unquote. So which of these three stories is an example of encouragement? One? Okay, all of them? Yeah, I think some of you are picking up on the fact that all of them are examples of encouragement, but they're not necessarily encouragement as we tend to think of it. Our usual take on encouragement is that it consists of smiles and embraces and words either spoken or written that provide comfort and strength. Encouragers in our minds are nice people who say and do nice things. Now, without completely throwing out that idea of encouragement, because certainly encouragers are supposed to say and do nice things, I want to challenge our thinking on the subject of encouragement this morning. I want to challenge our thinking along with the help of the scripture that we just heard together a few moments ago, where there's an understanding of encouragement that might be a bit different than we might imagine. Keeping that text in mind, those words of Hebrews 3, verses 7 through 14 in mind, I want to first of all pose a simple question, and that is the question, what is encouragement? Now, as you may have guessed from the stories I've told and from the reading of our scripture text for this morning, encouragement involves more than hugs and Hallmark cards. Though certainly I don't want to downplay those. We all need hugs, and we all need notes of encouragement or appreciation from time to time, though they don't necessarily have to come in a Hallmark card. But I want you to take a look with me again at our reading from Hebrews chapter 3. What the writer of Hebrews is doing is he's quoting from Psalm 95, a psalm which tells the sad tale of Israel's refusal to enter into the promised land because they didn't trust God to deliver it to them. And the point that the writer of Hebrews is making is this, is that all of us have a tendency to mistrust God. All of us have a tendency to not believe that God will deliver on his promises, and so we miss out on the good things that he has in store for us. And the remedy for that mistrust for God, the remedy for that missing out on the good things that God has planned for us is encouragement. Now, the Greek word that the writer of Hebrews uses here is the word parakaleo. I want you to say that with me. Say parakaleo. It's a pretty easy word. Parakaleo. And while it does mean to encourage each other and even comfort each other, parakaleo also carries the idea of warning, of exhorting, and even of correcting. Parakaleo is a word which, quite frankly, conjures up the image of friends who are willing to get in each other's faces. Friends who are willing to get on each other's case if they are not living up to the standard that God has in mind for all of us. It's an image of brothers and sisters in Christ who love each other too much to allow one another to wander off into the delusion of their own sin and their own rebellion. It's a kind of love where family members will encourage each other, certainly, but will also confront each other and warn each other with the consequences that could unfold. Now, again, as we've been saying throughout this series, we're getting a little bit of overlap from last week when we talked about spur one another on toward love and good deeds. There's a common core of all of these one another commands of our living our lives in relationship with each other and not allowing each other simply to spin off into outer space, so to speak. But as we talk about encouragement, I want to point something out about that word parakaleo, and that is this. It's the same word that is used to describe the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus says, I will send you another parakaletos. It's a word that is based on that word parakaleo, and our Bibles translate it as comforter. Jesus says, I will send you another comforter, and certainly the Spirit comforts us, but the idea behind calling the Spirit, using that word parakaleo to describe the Spirit, is that the Spirit also confronts us. The Spirit does not allow us to wander off into sin. When the Spirit comes to dwell in our lives and in our hearts through the gift of Jesus Christ, he warns us when we're wandering from the path of faith. He's constantly at work in us, battling against our tendency, like the Israelites, to mistrust God. The work of encouragement, then, is the work of the Holy Spirit. But it is work which he often carries out through us. You might even say that when we encourage each other, we are partners with the Holy Spirit. One item that I found this past week says this, is that when we encourage each other, we are speaking in God's name and with the Spirit's power. The Spirit is at work when we encourage one another, when we confront each other, when we warn each other. And so what is encouragement? Well, encouragement is a cooperative effort in which we join the Spirit in speaking to each other, not just words of comfort, but also words of confrontation and words of challenge. Seeing encouragement in this light is important because there is an urgent need for encouragement in our lives as Christians. William Lane, in his commentary on our text for this morning, says this. He says the urgency for encouragement and reproof is that the community of faith experiences an unresolved tension between peril and promise. What he means by that is this, is that so long as we who believe in Jesus Christ are living here on this earth, there are two realities that are at work within us. The first reality is this, is that we have great hope. We have great hope because Jesus Christ has claimed us as his children. We have great hope because Jesus has freed us from our sins. We have great hope because Jesus has given us life, not just life for this life, but life that goes into eternity. Jesus has given us all of these great gifts. We have this great joy in him. We live in hope. But the second reality is this, is that we are not free from this sinful world. Nor are we free from our own sinful habits. Both the world outside of us and the sin within us are constantly pulling us away from God. The Christian life, then, is one of constant tension between peril and promise, between sin and hope. We continue to have this tug of war that goes on in our lives as long as we live here on this earth. And in this life of constant tension, all of us experience times when the pull of the world gets to us. We decide to give up on worshiping with God's people. We convince ourselves that loose sexual morals are acceptable. We give in to the temptation to cheat in our business dealings, or we give in to our internal laziness and we stop spending time with the Lord in our private time. These things and so many others can and do happen to us on a regular basis. When the tension of living the Christian life here in this world overwhelms us, we stand in need of persons who love us enough to keep us from giving up on the faith. And so the writer of Hebrews says, encourage one another. There's a sense of mutual responsibility here. There's a sense in which I have to understand that your Christian life is not separate from my Christian life, that the lives we live, we walk together. We walk in connection with each other. I've said it from this pulpit before, and I'll say it again, that the Christian life was never intended to be lived individually. No matter what our individualistic culture might say to you, Jesus Christ certainly saves individuals. He draws us as individuals to believe in him, but he saves us into a people. He saves us into a body known as the church, and he does that because we need each other in order to live the life of faith. I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking too often we live our lives of faith. How many of you are familiar, like, with the Pinewood Derby that people used to do? You know, run the little cars down the tracks, right? Yeah, you've seen that, and each car has its individual track. And so often we think our Christian life is like that, all right? We're at the top, Jesus says go, and we slide down the track, right? We just go right down, and we're all in our individual little ruts. And that's not the picture that we have in Scripture of how we live our lives of faith. We walk with each other. We encourage each other. We stand next to each other. We don't have our wheels in individual ruts, but we move forward together. There's more that better image is from Hebrews chapter 12, where we're told we have this great cloud of witnesses that we're running alongside of. You ever seen the beginning of a marathon, like the Boston Marathon or the New York Marathon? Everybody's kind of running next to each other, right? They're kind of all jostling each other. And you know, and I know from a number of people that I know that have run that, they go and they run with friends. And they run next to each other and they encourage each other and they build each other up as they move forward in the race. That's a better picture of what we're called to as believers. We need each other to stay strong and true in the faith. George Guthrie puts it this way. He says, faith is communal. Each believer depending on the others in the body of Christ for encouragement. We all need help in living the Christian life, and we need it regularly. Indeed, the writer of Hebrews says, encourage one another daily. Encourage one another daily. The life of faith is a constant struggle. We never get a vacation from living the life of faith. I think this is one of the things that was the hardest for me to come to grips with as a believer. I came to faith in Christ early on in my life, made my profession of faith at age 18, And at that time, I thought, okay, oh, I pretty much arrived, and maybe with a few years of seasoning, I'll have this life all figured out. Yeah, laugh good and hard, because it's true. I'm 55 now, and I realize how far I am from really living the life of faith that God would call me to. It's a constant struggle. And the idea is this, is if you find yourself with strength for today, if you find yourself feeling strong in the Lord today, it's a pretty good bet that the Spirit wants you to share that strength with someone else, because the reality is tomorrow you're going to need someone else to help you. That's how the body of Christ, this body known as the church, is intended to operate. We're intended to be connected with each other, each of us having our own little support group. I think it's important to understand that when you have a church of, even of this size, I mean, we consider ourselves to be a rather small church, but we have 65, 70 people that are gather here in this group. You're not going to know everybody intimately. It's just not going to happen. But we need a group of people. We need those who will walk beside us. We need folks that we open our hearts to and we say, would you help me live this Christian life? It's one of the reasons over the years that I've been such a supporter of small groups and Bible studies, because these are opportunities for us to develop relationships with other people that will encourage us and build us in our faith. Each of us needs a little support group from which we receive aid and to which we can give aid in time of need. And the only day we have to do that is today. The writer of Hebrews says, encourage each other today. Help each other today. Because the reality is this, is when I am struggling in the life of faith, when I am wrestling in the life of faith, help deferred is no help at all. It's for that reason. Yes. Amen. Encouragement is not to lose the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It's a very, very well said. It's interesting that Muhammad brings that up, because as I was looking at the idea of this parakaleo, this word parakaleo, and encouraging one another, it's got a strong connection to our salvation in Christ, to the reminder of who we are and what we're called to be and how we're called to live, because we belong body and soul and life and in death to Jesus Christ. It's for this reason that we are called to encourage one another, that I've included these little yellow encouragement cards in the bulletins. And at the ends of the rows here, I have some. They're either on the chairs or they're underneath with a few pencils for you to use if you don't have a writing instrument with you. Because I want you to take that card, and I want you to write a note of encouragement to someone today. If you're sitting on the end of the row, if you would just find those encouragement cards and pass them down in case somebody doesn't have one, all right? And just give you an opportunity to do that. I want to encourage you not to leave the room today without writing a note of encouragement, all right? You don't need to hurry out. The coffee and the cookies will wait, okay? But I want to encourage you to just take a moment to write a note of encouragement. You don't have to give it to the person today. Maybe it'd be better for you to mail it. Maybe it would be better for you to deliver it in person at a coffee time or whatever. But what I want you to do is write a note. Whether it might be a note of appreciation, where you're thanking someone or telling them you appreciate what they do for the body or for others. You know a specific need that someone has, and you want to just let them know that you're continuing to pray for them. Maybe you know that this person is struggling spiritually or relationally, and you just want to speak a word into their lives that lets them know that they're not alone. Or maybe you know somebody's wrestling with a decision, and maybe they're not going to, they're kind of wavering whether they should step into what God wants for them or not, and this might be an opportunity for you to give a little spiritual nudge, okay? So I want to encourage you to take a few moments, and I've made enough of these cards, I'm going to keep them around, and I'm going to keep them in the back of church so that you have an opportunity. I'd encourage you on a regular basis to just pick one up and write it out and give it to someone. And this is a tough thing to do, okay, folks? One of the hardest things in the world to do is to let people know that you appreciate them. It's a simple thing that we can do, but it's so difficult. We get so involved in other things. And it's even harder if we want to speak a word of warning or correction or confrontation. These are difficult things to do. But I want to encourage you to understand that's exactly what we're called to do as believers. The point is that our need for encouragement is real and it is urgent. Faith is indeed communal. Now, the final thing I want to say about encouragement today is simply to note the power of encouragement. And I want to do that by means of a story. I know I began with three stories, but I'm going to share with you one more story. And this is a story of Harry Houdini, the great escape artist. Those of you who are a bit younger, maybe you don't know the name, but Harry Houdini used to be internationally known for being able to escape from anything and anywhere. And so here's a story that George Guthrie shares in his commentary. I'm going to share some comments that he makes as well after he tells the story. On March 10, 1904, the great escape artist Harry Houdini was challenged to a contest by the Illustrated Mirror of London, that is a newspaper. The paper dared the showman to escape from a complex form of handcuffs with 6 locks on each cuff and 9 tumblers on each lock. The performer took the challenge, with thousands gathered at the London Hippodrome, to see if he could escape these new bonds. Having been handcuffed securely, Houdini ducked down into a box to struggle out of the sight of the crowd. After about 20 minutes, the entertainer popped up out of the box. The gathered crowd roared their approval, but suddenly quieted as they realized that the handcuffs were still in place. Houdini smiled, asked for more light, and went back into the box with the cuffs still in place. 15 minutes passed, and once again, the escape artist appeared. Again, the crowd cheered enthusiastically. Houdini smiled, saying he just needed to flex his knees. And down to the box he went. After about 20 minutes, he came up again, taking a pocket knife from his vest and holding it in his teeth. Houdini slashed his coat to ribbons, freeing himself from the hot and heavy garment, and then jumped back into the box. The crowd cheered him on. This time, he only stayed in the box for 10 minutes and then emerged a free man holding the cuffs in his hands. The crowd gave an extended ovation for the master of escape. Later, a reporter asked Houdini why he kept popping out of the box when he was not yet free. Houdini replied that he needed to hear the encouragement of the crowd. And then Guthrie writes this: "Those of us who live in Christian communities struggle often in dark solitude against discouragement as a result of sin, conflict with culture, physical fatigue, relational discord, and other dynamics that close in around us. When we come out of our solitude into the light of Christian fellowship, we need to experience applause and encouragement from others in the body of Christ. This gives us the courage to go back to our struggles with new energy and hope. From a human point of view, such affirmation can make all the difference in holding firm till the end the confidence that began our Christian commitment." If you haven't noticed the connection already this morning, let me make it clear to you. Once again, what we're talking about is the very first command, the very first one another command that we considered together, and that is the command to love one another. Genuine love for one another will not allow us to leave our sisters and brothers to struggle alone. Rather, we will willingly, joyfully, courageously give ourselves to one another, and in so doing, we'll create an environment of encouragement. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank and praise you for the gift of one another. We thank you, Father, that when you saved us in Jesus Christ, you didn't just put us on a track with a set of ruts and pushed us down the hill, but you sent us into a race with brothers and sisters all around us, encouraging us, strengthening us, giving us grace. And Father, we pray that as we hear about this call to encourage one another, that you would help us to take it seriously. And hopefully with this little encouragement card we have, but also in so many other ways, that we will speak to each other, that we will build each other up, that we will love each other in grace, and we will help each other to run the race and to finish that race with joy in your presence. We thank you, Father, that we know that Jesus Christ has already run this race. He is, as the author of Hebrews says, the author and perfecter of our faith, and that we are called to fix our eyes on him. And so, Lord, we ask that as we seek to follow Jesus, and as we walk together following him, as we run together following him, that we may find strength in him through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.